Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This morning, I want to give you the best possible news I can give you. I want to just pour onto you this incredible news that God helps us through the Spirit in our weakness. Justin just talked about poverty. We have a poverty of spirit. We are weak, and God in His grace helps us in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been the theme of chapter 8 of the book of Romans, but really before that, chapter 5, God has given us the Spirit as a gift, and the Spirit of God pours the love of God in our hearts. Then we come to chapter 5, and the Holy Spirit says that the Holy Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and of death. The Holy Spirit leads us in putting to death sin in our bodies. The Holy Spirit leads us into crying out, Abba, Father, bearing witness that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit produces those early signs of character transformation in our life and in prayer and worship to show us that the fullness is to come. The Holy Spirit. And here we see that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The best news I can give you this morning is from Romans 8. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the first born among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. This is God's word for us. You may be seated. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Christ is not a crutch for the weak. He is a lifeline for the dying. He is a resurrection for the dead. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We are weak in spiritual things. We're certainly weak in prayer, and our weakness is to the extreme. And so, the Spirit prays for us and with us. And rather than leaving us prayerless, this promise that the Spirit prays for us and with us actually comforts us and keeps us praying. This is the good news. This is good news today that the Spirit helps our weakness. I want to give you the good news in 3 points. Number one, our weakness. Number two, the Spirit's help in prayer. Number three, back to our praying. So number one, our weakness. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, if you've been a Christian for 10 minutes, you've already gotten in touch with your weakness. And if you've ever tried to pray, you know your weakness there too. Personally, I've fallen asleep in prayer. When I was a new Christian and I was trying to learn that discipline of early morning prayer, and someone said, Scott, it's really good to wake up in the morning and pray, but they forgot to tell me to actually get out of my bed. So I woke up and I propped myself up in my bed, and I opened my Bible and put it on my lap, and I went right back to sleep. Sometimes in prayer, my mind wanders. I travel to distant lands in my mind some days when I'm praying. I lack motivation in prayer. Sometimes when I sit down to pray about a situation, I find myself worrying about that situation without ever praying about it. When I pray for someone, sometimes I find myself arguing with that person rather than praying for that person. In my mind, I don't always know what to ask for. And sometimes when I've prayed, I have used the most worn out, overused phrases that are mindless, mean absolutely nothing to me. And now, the older I get, my body doesn't even want to cooperate with praying. Let's kneel and pray. And my knees say, let's don't. If I sit too long in prayer, my back starts hurting. And then there is the to-do list. It just calls my name when I sit down to pray. The emails and the text messages and the news. Mostly, my weakness in prayer is simply relating to God. Does the Lord hear me? Is he going to respond? How? When does this really help? Why do I feel like prayer is so futile? Why do I feel so disconnected from God? What do I make of all those promises about prayer in the Bible that don't seem to apply to me? These are just some of my weaknesses. The text says we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray as we ought. This is our weakness. We can talk about weakness for a moment. I think the first thing I would say is that the weakness is probably worse than you think. As much as we are aware of our weakness, we're not even in touch with how desperate our situation really is. The spiritual and prayerless lethargy that is a part of our lives. But also we could say that in our weakness, things are not as hopeless as we might think they are. God is not limited by our weakness. I read a beautiful quote this week by Charles Spurgeon. He said, "Man's extremity, whether of need or of sin, is God's opportunity." So we are in extreme weakness, but that's God's opportunity. He's not limited by our weakness in any way. In fact, that's why he gives the Spirit to help us in our weakness. Another thing about weakness, I would say, is that we shouldn't turn weakness into the new virtue. There's a lot of talk about weakness. The Apostle Paul boasted in his weakness. But he boasted in his weakness only to the extent that he knew that Christ was going to be exalted in his weakness. We can fall into the pattern of boasting in our weakness as a way to exalt ourselves. If weakness is the new virtue, then we say, I'm weaker than you. Aren't I better than you? And that kind of mindset can actually prevent us from pressing on. We get so fixated on our weakness that we don't think about the help of the Spirit. But weakness is a reality. And so weakness should lead us to genuine humility, not a false humility, but a genuine humility. Weakness should lead us to a dependency upon God and hoping in the help of the Spirit. Weakness in prayer is not an excuse for being prayerless. We have the Spirit. So the first thing we see at the start is our weakness in prayer. The second thing we see is that the Spirit helps us in our weakness in what we call, what the Bible calls, intercession, verse 26. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. True, we don't know what to pray for. We don't know exactly what God is doing in every specific situation of our lives. We don't know exactly what God is wanting to build into our lives through every specific situation we are in. But the Spirit of God knows, and so he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit knows how to pray for us, and he does. So I just want to sit here in this second point. The Spirit helps us by praying for us. And I want to talk about the Spirit's prayers. Here's one thing. First thing is this. The Holy Spirit himself actually prays for us. Yes, the Holy Spirit assists us in our praying. Yes, the Holy Spirit stirs us up to pray. Yes, the Holy Spirit has inspired the Holy Scriptures so that when we read the Scriptures, we learn how to pray. And some, reading this passage today, that the Spirit prays for us with groanings too deep for words, have interpreted it to mean that as we pray with groanings or imperfect prayers, the Holy Spirit reshapes them on their way up to God. To that, we would say yes. But the most direct, simple read of the text is that the Holy Spirit himself prays, intercedes for us. Now, we're going to tiptoe in right now to a place that is wonderful. A lot of mystery attached to it, but it's wonderful. And we might tiptoe in and you might say, I got to tiptoe out. It'd be worth going in. It's worth it. God is one being. And God exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that this Trinitarian God, one God existing in three persons, is completely involved in God's will in our lives through prayer. It's beautiful. Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, fully God, when he was on earth, prayed. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for us. John 17, Jesus is praying, and he said, Father, I'm asking you for my disciples, and I'm asking you for everybody who's going to believe in me through my disciples. That's me and you. The Son of God, God the Son, prayed for us when he was on earth. I was thinking this week about the Apostle Peter. Right before Jesus died, he's having a conversation with his disciples, and he looks at Simon, and he said, Simon, Peter, he said, Satan has requested, demanded to sift you like wheat. He's going to put you through the grinder. But I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Peter denied Jesus. So do we say, oh, well, Jesus' prayer wasn't heard? No. Because when Peter denied Jesus, he wept. He repented. He turned. A couple of days later, he's at the tomb. The next weeks to come, he's with Jesus. His faith didn't fail because Jesus prayed for him. The Son of God prayed to God the Father to keep one of his disciples. And then Jesus died and he rose and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, the throne. And there, verse 34 of Romans 8 says, he's interceding for us. And now we read in the text today in verse 26 that the Spirit of God is in our hearts. From within our hearts, he has produced the Abba, Father cry. We saw that earlier. But now he is interceding for us before God on our behalf. It is the Spirit himself who is doing the actual intercession here. It's beautiful. Another thing we see in verse 27 is that this Spirit interceding for us is doing so with groanings too deep for words. We've already seen last week in previous verses that the creation And the children of God are groaning right now. We are groaning with frustration because we understand and feel the brokenness of this world in every day of our lives. But we're also groaning with longing because we've had enough of the Spirit's work to know that the fullness has come, the first fruits to know the fullness has come. So the creation and the children are groaning on the one hand with frustration, on the other hand with longing. Now it says that the Spirit is groaning. His groaning is with intercession, prayer for us. Now, people interpret this little phrase differently. It says, verse 26, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So I respect the different interpretations. In fact, you want to know what's frustrating for somebody like me when I'm getting ready to preach, is I read a handful of the people that I respect throughout church history and scholars and pastors and writers, and I respect them. And I read one writer and he says one thing, and I flip over and read another one, and he says another one, something else. And I just say, okay, where's a coin to toss? No, I don't. I really don't. I think it's best to understand that passage to mean that this is the Spirit, God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's actual groaning in intercession rather than the Spirit simply producing our groaning. I think it's best to see this as straightforwardly as possible, that the Spirit is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. And we need to see that when it says too deep for words, the groanings are wordless groanings. It doesn't mean that the groanings are meaningless groanings. The groanings too deep for words have meaning. And it says that the Father, who searches hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, understands what these groanings are about. The Father knows the meaning. Isn't that amazing? I told you, we've more than tiptoed, we're in. Within the persons of the one living and true God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is communication on our behalf. Another thing it says is that the Spirit interceding for us, we said it's the Spirit Himself interceding, and that it's the Spirit who is groaning with groanings too deep for words, but means something to the Father. And the next thing we would say is that the Spirit is interceding for us according to the will of God. The groanings are according to the will of God. I love the way the New International Version Study Bible says this. It's so good, I'm going to quote it for you. Unknown to us, the Spirit brings before God the prayer that perfectly matches God's will for us. The Spirit of God prays according to the will of God, and the Father God, who searches hearts and can read your mind and your heart right now, also knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and He understands His intercessions on our behalf. It's amazing. And the Spirit prays every prayer for us according to the will of God. Well, what is the will of God? Verse 28 through 30 tell us. Let's just read it again, and then we'll come back. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. That'd be the will of God. What's the good? Those who are called according to His purpose, there's a good purpose. What's that good purpose? For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. There it is, right there. There's the good. There's the purpose. There's the will of God, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Well, why? Why does He want to conform us to the image of His Son? In order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. We'll come back and explain that in a moment, but it's beautiful. Well, what's going to happen when he's the firstborn among many brothers? Keep reading. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. He's going to share his glory with us. What's the will of God? Here it is. Number one, it is to conform us to the will of Christ, to the image of Christ. We are to look like Christ. God is working and the Spirit is praying to transform our character to be like Christ. And what does it look like to be like Christ? Love. Joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, skipped kindness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So I thought those were the fruit of the Spirit. Well, they are. It's the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus. And to be conformed to his image is to be like that. And that's what the Spirit is praying for, according to the will of God. And when that happens, when we're conformed to the image of Christ, it reveals that Christ is supreme. Verse 29, the phrase used is, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And what that means is that he might be seen as the supreme brother. The supreme one among the children of God. The phrase in context, as Paul was using it, refers to the exalted son. The firstborn is the exalted son, the one that all the children want to grow up to be like. And when the children become like this son, then it is the son who is revealed to be preeminent and supreme. And when that happens, when the children of God are conformed to the image of the supreme son, the firstborn among many brothers. Verse 30, the last word finally happens. We are glorified with him. He shares his glory with the children whom he conforms to the image of his son. This is the will of God. And now, let's connect that back to prayer in the Spirit. We'll go to verse 28. Back to 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Okay. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray for the will of God that we just explained. Conformity to God, to Christ's image, the revelation of the supremacy of Christ as the firstborn and shared glory. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray that prayer. You ready? In every specific situation that you and I will ever face. That's what all things means. Everything in your life. The Holy Spirit is praying in everything in your life for the will of God to be accomplished. He is interceding, and that's how all things work together for good. The Father is answering the prayer. And we don't even have to know how this happens. We don't even have to know how God is doing this. We just know that the Spirit is praying in all things that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Our not knowing, our weakness in prayer is no threat to God's purpose for our lives. For the Spirit intercedes for us. Think on this, brothers and sisters. This divine Trinitarian communication and cooperation and activity is going on in heaven and in our hearts right now, waiting to be revealed as Christ being supreme. Can you find the comfort in that? It's beautiful. It's such comfort. And one more thing before we end with our prayer. We've been talking about us as Christians. The same thing applies to the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says that the church is like a bride for Christ, and that Christ loves his bride. And that Christ is doing everything he can do to nourish and take care of his bride, the church, because he's going to present his bride to himself without blemish. He's praying for the church. The Spirit's praying for the church. He's going to get his church to the same glory that we talk about as individuals. Which leads me to say that I want to stop speaking with doom and gloom about Christ's bride. And I want to start loving and praying and interceding for Christ's bride, because it's Christ, not mine. Okay, now what do we do with all of this? What is the effect of this reality of the Spirit interceding on our behalf with groanings too deep for words according to the will of God? What effect does it have on our lives? And here's the third point for the day and the final point. It leads us to pray. Our praying. It sets us praying with confidence, not discouraged by our weakness. The Spirit interceding for us does not replace our praying. The Spirit interceding for us helps us and gives us confidence in our praying. Here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to be thankful. Can I declare this week Thanksgiving? Do I have any authority to give a proclamation? No, but let me just say, let's don't wait till Thanksgiving. Got a whole month for that. Let's declare this as Thanksgiving week. Every day this week, you're going to wake up to the reality that somebody is praying for you. Every morning, no matter the dark cloud over your head, no matter the long tunnel called a day that is waiting you, you're going to wake up to this reality. Somebody is praying for you. Give thanks. Every day this week, somebody's going to pray in everything you encounter for God's will in your life. Give thanks. You don't have to understand this mystery. You don't even have to realize it's happening. Folks, the natural world is experiencing things constantly that you don't understand, and you're not even aware of it happening, and it's impacting your life. How much more for the children of God and the brethren of Christ and the church of Jesus Christ are things happening in the realm of the Trinity, in the realm of the Spirit, that are impacting your life, and you don't even know it's happening? Thank him for that. And this week, any prayer that you pray is going to be prompted by the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be accompanied by his prayers, no matter how weak they are. Thank him for that. In every trial you face, along every road you walk, in every opportunity you have, the Spirit is going to be interceding for you. Thank him for that. If you are weary, if you are afraid, if you are numb, the Spirit is praying for you. Thank him for that. Even now, in this disruption, he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words according to the will of God. Let's give him thanks. And while we're at it, let's rely on him. Let's consciously say, I rest in you. I trust in you. I rely upon you. I humble myself before you. I ask you to help me. And let's believe him. Let's believe this. Did you receive the Spirit who works miracles among you by the works of the law or by faith? Paul asked. By faith. Believe in him. He's working a miracle right now. The miracle of coming before the Father to intercede on our behalf. This miracle is happening. Believe this is happening. And let's listen to him. The same Spirit who dwells in us, the same Spirit who's interceding for us with groanings too deep for words, is the Spirit who has inspired the written word of God, the Holy Scriptures. So let's listen to His voice. Let's open up our Bibles this week and listen to the voice of God through the Spirit in the Word so that we will know how to pray. Certainly, let's not quench the Spirit by neglecting to give Him thanks, by neglecting to be dependent upon Him, by unbelief, by not listening to and heeding His Word. Let's not quench the Spirit. Let's be filled with the Spirit. And let's pray. Now, verse 27 says, the Spirit intercedes for the saints. That word does not mean people who are saintly in themselves. It means the saved ones by God's grace. Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you could be called a saint. He will forgive you. He will wash you. He will wash you. And when He forgives you and washes you, He will fill you. He will impart to you the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the very life of God in you, who will lead you and guide you, who will pray on your behalf. Repent of your sin. Turn to Christ. Trust Him, and please let us know if we can help you.